Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Now, we're going to study about this. Show yourself friendly. That's the topic. Show yourself friendly. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And you may be familiar with the proverb. The proverb says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know something? We need friends. Absolutely. I remember when I went into school to train for the ministry, I can remember repeatedly hearing, make yourself some friends. Make sure that you have some friends. You are going to need friends. I can remember hearing that over and over again. And you know, over the years, I have found out that that advice was absolutely, absolutely true. And I thank God that I heard that advice, and I thank God that I saw this proverb and figured out what needed to be done about it. You see, because this proverb tells you that the best way to get a friend, the best way to have friends, is to be one. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, when our church first started, after a period of time, there was a nucleus of people, and then as new people began to show up, it was a little bit difficult for new people that were coming in to find a way to fit in with that nucleus. And I think that's true of most small churches as they're growing. The people that are having fellowship with each other already are so happy to see each other that oftentimes they neglect, for whatever reason, to warmly incorporate the new people that are coming. And I've seen that happen before, and I saw it happen early on in the ministry here. And one fella and his wife had come to the church, and they were enjoying the preaching and the teaching and the singing and you know, that kind of thing. But they said, you know, we just don't feel like the people here are that friendly. So I told him, I said, you know what I want you to do? The next time you come to church, I want you to walk in the door, and I want you to go right up to the people that are visiting with each other and having a cup of coffee together and that kind of thing. I want you to go up, and I want you to stick your hand out and introduce yourself, introduce your wife, and get yourself a cup of coffee and pull right up there and talk with them. Well, the next Sunday I was watching for him, and he came in the door, and sure enough, he walked right up, stuck out his hand, introduced himself, made himself a cup of coffee, got right in on the conversation. So did his wife. And the next Sunday, the same thing. And after that, he came to me and said, you know, we want to join this church. And I said, you do? I said, you know, I'd be delighted for you to. They'd been coming for a good period of time and knew the preaching and all that kind of stuff. And said, yeah, we'd like to join this church. The folks here are friendly. Isn't that something? What changed? What changed is simply this, that in order to make friends of a tightly knit group of people, he had to show himself friendly. He had to make a move. Now, the church has grown since then, and there are a lot of new faces. And so what's happened now is that when I visit with couples who have visited the church once or twice, without prompting, without asking, they'll say, one of the things that we really enjoy about your church is they're very friendly people. Isn't that interesting? And now what's happened is people are making a point to make new friends by being friendly, because the Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, Jesus is our example. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our everything. And if it weren't for salvation, following him as an example wouldn't be enough. But once we've been saved and we're following him as an example as well and allowing him to live his life in us, then you know something? We learn a lot about being friendly because Jesus showed himself friendly. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for his friends, and at that time we were sinners, you know, When he laid down his life for his friends like that, he demonstrated a friendliness by making the first move. He showed himself friendly. He showed himself friendly to us and showed us, if you want to have friends, then demonstrate your friendliness. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's no greater way for a man to do that than what Jesus Christ did by laying down his life for others. He showed himself friendly to the world. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, oftentimes when we preach that verse or when we hear that verse, we think, hey, God loved us so much that he gave us eternal life. But if you listen to what the verse actually says, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You talk about showing himself friendly. He showed himself friendly by giving his Son. And what a gift. Because when you have Jesus, you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. This is the record of his Son. What is it? Eternal life. It's in the Lord. So you get eternal life by receiving Jesus Christ. But the great thing is, God demonstrated his friendliness by giving the gift of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, we read this. We love him. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure you do. I mean, you know, we're going to still mess up and do things like that, but I'm sure you do. We love him because, why? He first loved us. He made the first move. He demonstrated the love. Now we reciprocate the love, but he started it. So, if you ever wanted to find out about making friends, just look at the life of Jesus Christ. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And that agitated and irritated and upset the Pharisees so much so that they became envious and finally decided to kill him. But he didn't care. Those were his friends. The disciples were his friends. So the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So, we should take a lesson from Jesus Christ, and we should take a lesson from this proverb. If you want to have friends, you are going to have to be a friend to them. And you want the kinds of friends that are going to stick closer to you than a brother would. In other words, you want to choose good friends. Ones that will be closer than a brother, ones that will be there for you. And let me tell you something. As you go through life, if you haven't already noticed it, you will notice it. Should the Lord tarry, you are going to need friends. You are going to need someone, first of all, and these are in random order, you're going to need someone to take care of you in trouble. And a real friend will do that. You are going to need somebody to take care of you in trouble. Listen, when David had been anointed king, Saul was still the king, and David's anointing took place a long time before David ever got the throne. Now, David had gone into check on his three older brothers during a time when they were at a stalemate because Goliath had made a challenge that nobody wanted to take. David came in and said, is there not a cause? He took the challenge and he beat Goliath. When he did, Saul was so impressed that he brought David to live with him, made him his armor bearer. Jonathan was so impressed with what David did, he made a friendship and a pact with David that lasted Jonathan's lifetime. Because Jonathan died before David did. He gave him his sword and his girdle, you know, and he said, you know, boy, you're the guy. And I think Jonathan knew soon after that that David, in fact, was going to get the throne. And Jonathan and David swore to each other that they would never, never break their friendship and that they would never break their friendship down to the next generation. In other words, that they would take care of each other and take care of each other's families. And, you know, David honored all that. For instance, Saul was trying to kill David, and David, among other things, had every reason in the world to kill Saul and had opportunity to do it, and he wouldn't do it because Saul was the Lord's anointed. But you know something? I don't believe he'd do it either because of his friendship with Jonathan. Jonathan and Saul, in spite of Saul's irrational behavior toward David, Jonathan was still right there with his dad and died with him in battle. Inseparable. And there was no way with the kind of friendship that Jonathan and David had David was ever going to do anything against Saul. Now listen, Jonathan took care of David in trouble. He checked his father out to see if his father intended to kill him and passed word along to David, gave him safe passage, covered for him when David wasn't at the supper one night, saying that he had gone back at the new moon to sacrifice with his family in Bethlehem. Jonathan and David had the kind of friendship that allowed each to take care of the other in trouble. And listen, you're going to face trouble in life. You are going to face hard times, and when you do, you are going to need a friend who will stick with you during that time and take care of you in that trouble, to console you, perhaps to provide you with some financial help. And you know how the Bible described their friendship, that their love for each other was greater than their love for women. I've talked about that recently, so I'm not going to go into detail. A man loves his sister, a man loves his wife, a man loves his mother. Somebody tried to make that out like some sort of a sexual disorientation. Let me tell you something. It wasn't. It was pure. It was right before God. It's just that they had an incredible love for each other. And you're going to need a friend like that. And in order to do that, you're going to have to extend your love to somebody like Jonathan did to David. And they'll be there to take care of you in trouble. All right, you're going to need somebody to watch over your children when you're gone. That's what you need a good friend for. I realize that you can appoint a trustee like a bank or somebody else like that to handle your finances, but you're going to need somebody to take care of your kids. And even though they may be already old enough to not need to go live with somebody, they're still going to need somebody that was a good friend of their father's to look after them. I mean, to be there for them. But more importantly, if the children are too young to go live on their own, you're going to need somebody to watch over your children when you're gone. Now, David and Jonathan had that pact with each other that they were real good friends and that they would not only take care of themselves, but they would also take care of their children. Jonathan died in battle against the Philistines before David ever even got to the throne. Of course, Saul died then, and David went to the throne shortly thereafter. And at first he ruled in Hebron over the tribes of Judah and then eventually over all of Israel. Well, after the battle and after some things had cleared, David wanted to know if there was anybody in Jonathan's family that he could take care of, anybody that he could help. And it turned out that Jonathan had a child that was crippled. And David brought that child, Mephibosheth, to his house and allowed him to eat under or with his feet under the king's table, in other words, with the king, every meal for the rest of his life. He took care of him. And he also preserved the inheritance that Mephibosheth had coming to him that was passed down from Saul through Jonathan. Now, you know something? Because David and Jonathan had the kind of friendship that they did, David was there to watch over Mephibosheth, who needed somebody to watch over him after Jonathan was gone. You'll need somebody like that. So you want to show yourself friendly, and you want to make friends, and you want a friend that will stick closer than a brother, because you're going to need that kind of friend. None of us goes through life without needing friends to take care of you in trouble, to watch over your children when you're gone, and to give you wise counsel. When you read in the Bible, you read about a fellow named Hushai. He was a counselor and friend to David at the same time that Ahithophel was. But the Bible says about Hushai that he was David's friend. So he was not only his counselor, he was his friend. Now, a good friend of yours will give you wise counsel. In other words, he knows you well enough to know the kind of things that you need, and while you're asking him counsel about certain things, he can already tell certain things that he should not advise you and certain things that he should advise you, because his interest in helping you is as much as if he were helping himself. And Hushai was a friend of David's. And Hushai actually gave counsel during Absalom's brief reign that contradicted the counsel of Ahithophel that had been given to Absalom, and actually bought David some additional time, put Absalom in the battle, and actually stopped the treasonous overthrow of the kingdom. That's Hushai, a friend. And he risked his own life to do it. Now, that kind of friend is unlike the kind of friend that Amnon had. In the Bible, you'll read about a fellow named Amnon. And Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab. Now, this kind of friend that Amnon had was one that got Amnon in trouble. Old Jonadab knew that Amnon had the hots for his half-sister Tamar and worked out a scheme whereby Amnon could lie with her, to force her, to rape her, essentially. Jonadab's the one that cooked up the scheme. And when Amnon did that, Absalom found out about it. Absalom was Tamar's full sister, and Absalom got mad. And he's the kind of guy that could control his anger until the right opportunity presented itself. So a couple of years later, the right opportunity presented itself, and Absalom killed Amnon. Now, they were all away shearing sheep, and news got back to David that Absalom had killed all the king's sons, and David was just distressed. And Jonadab was there with the king and said, no. He said, don't worry about that. He said, don't worry about that. He didn't kill all the king's sons. He just killed Amnon. Now, you know something? Jonadab knew that Absalom was inviting Amnon and the brothers up to shear sheep with him so that when Amnon got drunk, Absalom could kill him. What kind of friend is that that will put a man into a situation where he can fulfill his lustful desires on his half-sister, and then when he knows of the scheme to kill the man in retaliation, does not have enough friendship to tell and warn the guy that he's fixing to lose his life? That's no friend at all. That's a troublemaker. Now, if you got a friend like that, you need to ditch that dude. Show yourself friendly that you can have a friend that will give you wise counsel. Then you needed somebody to get in your face when you're out of line. And then a good friend will do that. He'll get in your face when you're out of line. There are times, look, there are times when a person is really good friends of yours and you're messing up, he can sit down with you and look, that friendship is so good that he can get in your face about the trouble that's brewing, about the trouble that you're causing, about the counsel that you need without blowing the friendship. There aren't a lot of people that are willing to stand in line to get in your face about your problems, but every time they do that, they get on your bad side, and they can't preserve the friendship. That's because there's no friendship there. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly and get the kind of friends, because you're going to need one, that can get in your face without destroying the friendship and talk to you straight when you're out of line. Paul and Peter had that kind of relationship. Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. Peter was the minister to the Jews, and you know the difficulties there. Well, Peter, when he had ministered to some Gentiles, what happened is that, you know, they broke down the middle wall of partition. The Spirit of God did that for them. And these Gentiles got saved, and all of a sudden they are sitting down eating some good food, and Peter's already had a dream about nothing being unclean anymore, so, man, he's down there eating a ham sandwich with the boys. And all of a sudden, James from Jerusalem sends some other Jews down there to check on Peter to see what's going on with the Gentiles. And as soon as Peter gets word that these Jews are coming to check him out, off go the bacon and eggs for breakfast, off goes the ham sandwich for lunch. Peter goes over there and pretends to be a law-abiding Jew again that would have nothing at all to do with the Gentiles, because he's going to demonstrate that he's keeping the law in front of these Jews. And Paul found out about it and got in Peter's face and said, you guys have gotten carried away with this dissimulation. Why are you compelling them to get under the law when you yourselves are not under the law anymore because of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Cut it out, boys. And I mean, he got after them face to face. But you know what? Peter needed that, because they were eventually the Jews were going to try to put those Gentiles under inordinate bondage of the law, and they were free from all of that because of salvation. And you know, the friendship survived, because later on Peter wrote a letter. You can read the epistles, the 1st and 2nd Peter, and when he wrote, he says he called Paul his beloved brother, our beloved brother Paul. Now, I'll tell you what. It takes a real friend who can get in your face about a problem and still be called your beloved brother when it's done. And you're going to need somebody like that. You're going to need someone to help you bear your load, like Epaphroditus did for Paul. You read over there in Philippians chapter 2, Paul was distressed when Epaphroditus got sick, so sick that it looked like he was going to die. And he said, man, he would have suffered greatly if Epaphroditus had died, because he was such a fellow laborer, such a fellow prisoner, such a fellow soldier in the work of the Lord. And you're going to need somebody to help you bear the load. God has designed these things in the ministry that you cannot do all that you are supposed to do for God by yourself. You are going to need help. And in order to get help, you are going to need some friends. I mean real friends. Friends that will stick with you through thick and thin. Now, you'll find people from time to time that will help you bear the load. I've seen many of them come and go. And you know what? They profess to be friends, but when it all comes down to it, if something is more convenient for them than for you, pretty soon you'll find out that they're more for themselves than they are for you, and they'll only bear the load for a while. Look, thank God for those people. You got to have people that'll help you along the way. There'll be some that'll help you now that won't be with you later. Don't hold it against them. That's the way it goes in the ministry. That's the way it goes in life. But then you're going to need some real friends who'll stick with you through thick and thin that will help you bear the load. I can remember being very fortunate for years, having a very, very dear friend of mine. And every time that we saw each other, he was much older than I am, and he's passed away now, but every time we saw each other, talked on the telephone, invariably he ended our conversations the same way. He said, "I'm here if you need me. Old pal, I'm here if you need me." And I'm going to tell you what, he meant that. There were times when I needed him, and he was there, just like he said. And he helped bear the load. And I'm so thankful to God today. There are several men that I can think of. I won't name them. They are in various places. They have helped me immensely bear the load. And man, you talk about friends. Whew, I tell you, I thank God for them. All right, you're going to need somebody to stick with you when others won't. Oh yeah, there are going to be those times in your life where you don't think you've got a friend left in the world, because some of the friends that were friends of yours were fair weather friends. And you know you want to get upset about it, but don't get upset about it. That's life. That's the way it happens. The apostles were with Jesus Christ until they got arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall flee." They fled. He had warned them they were going to do it. He didn't hold it against them. He used those guys after his resurrection to do what we're doing today for the church. So don't hold it against them. Paul, when he gave his first answer in his own defense, nobody stood with him, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he said, "Only Luke is with me." Thank God for Luke, because Luke stuck with Paul when nobody else would. And you're going to need that kind of friend. And you're not going to find out who those friends are until the bad times come, and then you'll see who's left. I remember having a dear friend of mine, and he's trying to rekindle the friendship now. We had good relationship going on for years, and then an upheaval came. And he said to me, after the upheaval, he said, "Boy, this is the time when you really find out who your friends are." And I said, "You betcha." And I said, "I'm glad you're sticking with us, helping us out." Well, it wasn't a month later, and it vaporized. He didn't realize that when he said that, he wasn't going to be one of the ones to stick it out. Now, he's trying to rekindle the friendship now, but he let it go for a pretty good while. He let it go for about 6 years. And, I thank God there were some friends there that stuck when others wouldn't. You need them. You say, "Why do I need friends?" Because you got to have somebody to take care of you in trouble. You got to have somebody to watch over your children when you're gone. You got to have somebody that can give you wives counsel. You've got to have somebody that'll get in your face when you are out of line, and somebody to help your load, help bear your load, and somebody to stick with you when others won't, and someone to pray for you, like Paul and Philemon. When you read that little book, Philemon, it's just one chapter. Paul was praying for Philemon all the time. And Philemon needed a friend like Paul, somebody that would pray for him all the time. You're going to need somebody to pray for you, because you can't do what you've got to do in life without other people lifting you up before the Lord God in prayer. You're going to face medical difficulties. You're going to face financial difficulties. You're going to face marital difficulties. You're going to face business difficulties. You're going to face government difficulties. You're going to face insomnia and sleep difficulties. You're going to have difficulties in life if your life patterns everybody else's life that's ever lived on this earth. And when you go through those times, you are going to want to be able to pick up the phone, mention to somebody quickly what trouble you're having, and have them get to the Lord and start praying on your behalf and intercede on your behalf, so God will do something to fix the problem and help you out and give you the grace to get through it while you're having trouble. I was delighted the other day. A friend of mine who doesn't live in Corpus Christi anymore called me. Medical problems. And he said, "Man, I need you to give me a call. We're having some real trouble here." I gave him a call. We talked about it, prayed on the telephone together, been praying together. God's grace is sufficient. Getting some good medical news now. And I'll tell you what, I'm delighted to be friend enough with him to be able to pray for him and for his wife. I'm delighted. See, because the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." You get to do that for somebody. Somebody will be there to do that for you. You got to have friends. And if you don't have many friends, you're going to have to make some friends. And the best way to make them is to show yourself friendly. Why? Because you're going to need to have somebody to have fellowship with. When you read 3 John, which is the third epistle of John, and read the first verse, John writes to his beloved Gaius, and that's a man with whom he enjoyed having fellowship, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And he says, I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be thee to thee. Our friends salute thee. Man, you know what he wanted? He wanted a friend, somebody to have some fellowship with. Listen, there are so many times in my life where what I've wanted to do is just kind of get away for a little while, just take a break for a few moments maybe, just at a meal or maybe for a day or maybe for a day, a night, and another day. Man, it's good to have some friends that can sit down and enjoy fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ, because so often when you're with people and you want to talk about the things of the Lord, you're having to witness to them, train them, teach them. They're not able to enjoy fellowship with you on the things concerning the Lord because they don't have the same kind of relationship you do. But man, when you've got friends that have the same kind of relationship with Jesus Christ you do, and y'all can enjoy fellowship with each other, oh, you talk about rich, you talk about good, and sometimes you just got to have that. And if you want a friend or you want friends that will do these things for you, then you have to do these things for them. You can't sit on your behind on your sofa twiddling your thumbs and saying, I don't know why doesn't anybody call. I don't know why I don't have any friends. You're never writing a thank you note. You're never writing a note of encouragement. You're never making phone calls to try to help bury their load, to let them know you're praying for them, to let them know you love them. You're never taking them out to eat. You're never doing anything with them, and you don't have friends, and you're wondering why. The Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you will be the kind of friend that will stick closer than a brother, you'll have friends. And you may have to take care of them. They'll take care of you. You may have to give wife counsel. They'll give you wise counsel. You may have to stick with them when others won't. They'll stick with you when others won't. It goes that way. And I pray that you'll find them. I pray that you'll make them. And I pray that you'll stick with them. And you'll be greater for it all through this life, and you will have much fonder memories of this life in eternity when we're done. Please follow what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.